Father God, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life, and they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father God, we just thank you today as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void, but Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us be doers of the word, not just hearers only. We thank you most of all that we'll take the word that we hear and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father, we thank you, come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way. It gives us utterance to speak with all boldness and uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. Most of all, Father, we thank you for that anointing that's present tonight. That anointing that saturates us and changes us in an instant. We thank you that that anointing is here and present. We just stir it up now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for Mom and Dad's crusade team as they're there in California later on in Nevada this week. And we thank you that for healings. We thank you for lives being changed as they're there. And we thank you for giving them strength and helping them this week, Father. Father God, we thank you for everything you have done, everything you are doing both here and around the world, and we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise God. Let me get this mint down my mouth so that way I can talk plain. Amen. Well, God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, there's a couple of scriptures that I use to preach on a couple times a year. And one reason is because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17, my grandfather always says this, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to continue to hear the word. It doesn't become by having heard. But the biggest reason I'm preaching on this scripture is because Friday, I was actually, I was getting out of my bed, to be honest with you, and I was, I had just been thinking and meditating on you know, upcoming ministry and things like that, and when I was walking from my bed to the bathroom, this scripture came up, and the Lord just said that somebody needs it, so that's why we're ministering, because somebody needs it. Maybe we all need it, but, you know, this thing's like going back and forth, but somebody needs to hear it, so we're gonna read from James chapter 1, verse number 2. I'm going to read first from the New King James. And it's one of the verses that I look to a lot and think about a lot. It says this. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, you know, it says to count it all joy. It doesn't say it will be joyful. You know, it doesn't mean that it's going to be joyful when things happen, but you have to count it as joy. You have to act like it's joyful. Now, reading from the New Living Translation, it says a little bit better the way I actually really like it. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. See, it's an opportunity, but you know what? It's also an opportunity for great defeat as well. It's an opportunity for the devil to win. It's, you know, but it's an opportunity for great joy. Now, whenever I read it this way, I think about it kind of this way. You know, when something goes wrong and maybe something happened and you got disappointed, your first reaction is probably your normal, natural human reaction. You're probably mad. You're probably upset. You're probably dejected. You're probably, you know, concerned. You know, I don't know what's going on. So, you know, you have a human reaction. But see, after that, all of a sudden it should hit you on the inside that God is greater than your problems. All right? And then you should remember that verse in Nehemiah 8:10. It says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's whenever we can have joy, not because of our situation, but because of our God. You know, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And we can have joy in the middle of our trials. Now, obviously, everybody here that's a regular church member know that I talk a lot about John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So every time a situation like this, a trial, tribulation, something happens where I have disappointment, my first thought is, this is the devil being the devil. You know, and that's what he does. And in fact, the New Living Translation said that his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But then it goes on to say that my purpose, Jesus said this, is that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I don't believe he was talking about life in heaven more abundantly. He's talking about life here on earth more abundantly. Because you know what? We can have joy in the middle of the storm because we know in the end that we win. Now remember, it says the joy of the Lord is our strength, all right? Now you can say the joy in the Lord, but the Bible says the joy of the Lord. And I think whenever you begin to think about the joy of the Lord, you think about his perspective, God's perspective. See, a lot of times whenever we face a trial, some kind of situation, we're only looking at our perspective. Our perspective is, this is tough. This is unexpected. You know, I don't know how I'm going to get through this situation, but that's our perspective. But when you look at it like God looks at it, it's like, it's no big deal. It's just a trial. It's just a test. It's not a big deal. In fact, many of you probably remember I spoke on this a number of months ago, and I actually talk about the test pattern that comes on your TV. If you happen to watch your TV late at night, and they'll come on and go, dee, and they'll say, this is only a test of the emergency broadcast system. And it goes on to say, if it was an actual emergency, we would follow it up with telling you what to do and how to do things or whatever. And you have to realize that it is only a test. All right? It's only temporal. In the end, you win. Get a hold of your Bible and read. In fact, the Bible says we're more than conquerors. So we're victorious through Christ Jesus. The reason that we can have joy is because we win. Now, sometimes we get a hold of that scripture, joy cometh in the morning, and we'll think, well, maybe tomorrow we can have joy. But you know what? Joy cometh whenever you decide to be joyful. Now, my grandfather always said that whenever you use your faith, that if you really believe that you have your answer when you pray, that you should act like it. Now, whenever you've gone through a test or you've gone through a situation, when it's all over, you get pretty happy it's over. And let's just say you had a big debt you had to pay. You know what? Once it's paid off, it's pretty exciting. In fact, some of you actually, after you pay off maybe a credit card or whatever, then you go take yourself out to eat because you're so excited how you, which hopefully you don't put it back on the credit card. So you, but anyway, a lot of times we're pretty excited. You know, even back, if you remember, some of it's been a long time. Even back in school time, whenever we were studying for a big test, I remember in college a lot of time I'm studying for this big test, and once I took the test. Now, if I took the test and I don't have to wait for the instructor to give me the grade to know how good I did, because I can know whether I knew the answers or didn't know the answers. I mean, most of you, if I took a test and obviously, I know I did pretty well, I was pretty excited about it. It was interesting how there was a lot of anxiety until I took that test. When it was over, man, this looks like took a load off. Here's the thing is James is saying, take a load off before you even finish the test. Because it is only a test. It's just the devil just doing what he normally does. And the thing is that the same joy that we normally would have after the test is over is the joy we need to have before, because you know what? God's got this. He's in control. God's got it. And all we have to do is put our faith in him. Put our trust in him. And a lot of times people, whenever situations come, they're like, well, what do I do? How am I going to get through this? Well, let's read on. It says verse 3 says, for you, reading from the New Living Translation, it says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now, you understand sometimes that whenever we're going through a test, it seems like we're enduring it for a long time. But just remember that these things are only temporal. They will pass away. My faith is going to stand in God. All right? And because, you know, sometimes we get upset because our test or our trial lasts longer than a few minutes or a few days or a few hours. All right? But it doesn't matter. The point is, ultimately, you win. All right? And, you know, my perspective in life after reading this verse has really changed. I don't really get upset about a lot of stuff, you know. Now, I'm not saying at first I don't get upset, because a lot of times when it first happens, natural emotion comes over me. But that's when I have to remember what God's word says. And that's why I'm so glad, you know, for a heritage that I had, because my grandfather always taught me to go to the word. And God's, you know, so what he always says that God says that, I believe in that settles it. So every time I go through a situation, I go to the word. Now, because I know the word, I don't have to go to my Bible. I you know, what happens to me is when I go through a situation, immediately after I have my human emotion, sometimes my own little pity party, all of a sudden on the inside, I remember a scripture. And, you know, this scripture says, count it all joy. Just be happy. It'll all be okay. We're going to get through this. And, you know, if we don't count it all joy, you know what happens? It will just eat us for a long time. We'll just have a lot of unrest on the inside. But, you know, I also remember another scripture. It says, you know, cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. You know, just let it go. I mean, whatever it is, say, God, you know, I can't carry these burdens or cares anymore. You take them. You know, I always say, you know, treat it like that game we used to play called Hot Potato. You know, you just like, you know, get rid of it, give it over to God. Now, the great thing about it is, unlike the game, God's not going to give it back to you. All right. Once you give God your ball, he's not going to return it. All right. Now, so you just give him your cares, all your struggles, and you just have joy. Now, sometimes at first, you have to make yourself have joy. But that's why it's good for some of us that went to children's church back in the day. Remember, we used to sing a song, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. And everyone would clap their hands. All right, you know, a lot of people, whenever they started singing the song, they weren't really that happy. They just were doing what the song said. Well, that's the same way. We have to do what the Bible says. You know, maybe when it ultimately, you know, when it happened, you don't feel like being joyful. You don't feel, but see, here's the thing. If you start thinking about the whole grand scheme of life, this is only a short time. This is only a short situation. This, you know, this too shall pass. Whenever you understand that greater is he that on, you know, is on the inside of me than he that's in the world, you know, I'm going to put my trust in Jesus. And if he can't take care of it, I don't know who can. All right, and yeah, you know, maybe I might have to endure hardship for a season, but it's only for a season. It's not for an eternity. You know, because I understand, you know, I would think about the verse, you know, having done all, stand. You realize there's no other verse after that, because it's just having done all, and it just says stand. It doesn't tell you anything else but to stand. It doesn't say retreat. It doesn't say move forward. It just says stand. You know, and whenever I hear that, I was thinking about the other verse that says, standing on the promises of God. Man, I just keep standing. Standing knowing that, you know what, ultimately we win. Now, the next verse, actually, and right here, it says, verse 5, if you need wisdom. All right, you know, a lot of times when we're facing a situation, you know, a lot of times we need wisdom. Whether it's financial, physical, emotional, we don't know what to do. You know, in our own mind, you know, and a lot of times, here's the thing, you know, a lot of you, I'm sure, are very smart. You know, maybe you're real good on IQ tests. You know, maybe you have an advanced degree. But you know what? Just because you're very smart with a lot of book knowledge doesn't mean you always know what to do. All right? You know, and so sometimes we're like, man, we've all been there. Whenever we said, God, I don't know what to do. Well, you know what? This is God telling you what to do when you don't know what to do. What do you need to do? It says, if any of you need wisdom, ask our generous, I love this new living translation. It says, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you, and he will not rebuke you for asking. You know, I've had teachers tell me there's no such thing as a stupid question. You know, it doesn't matter what, maybe there are times when maybe we've gone through a trial before and we got through that trial because we knew what to do. And then we go through a similar trial or whatever. And we forget what we did last time, you know, and we're like, God, give me more wisdom. And he's giving me the same wisdom he did before. But you know what? There's no stupid questions. There's no stupid thing to ask for. And in fact, you know what? My mom, she, a lot of times, especially when it comes down to, we just went through the Christmas season. A lot of times at Christmas time, if you have to go to the mall, great. Thank God for Amazon, all kinds of online ordering. Now we don't have to go to the mall as much as possible. They just deliver it to you my door. In fact, I didn't go to the mall at all this Christmas season. Bless his holy name. So, because the mall's always crowded. But anyway, there's been times where you go to the mall or even go to an activity or whatever, and you can't find a place to park. Now, it's funny because I've been there. This happened at my Walmart more than anything else. And I drive around the parking lot for it seems like 5 minutes, but it wasn't 5 minutes. And, the thing about what's so stupid is I could have just parked way down there and walked to the store before, but no, I drove around. Now, that's a little different this time of year when it's cold. I want to park close, but my mom, on her way to knowing, let's say she's going to the mall at Christmas time and knowing that she's crowded, she'll start believing God for a parking place. Amen. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Ask what you will and it shall be done. Sometimes we in our own mind think, well, this is such a small thing, why do I need to ask? It doesn't matter if it's small or big, you can still ask. I know people that want them, if they have a cold or whatever, they never ask the Lord for their cold. Now, if they have a big time sickness, then they ask God to heal them. But why not? Why not ask? Why not come for whatever? But it says, if you lack wisdom. Now, I don't care how smart you are. At some point in time, you're going to find yourself lacking wisdom in that area. But if you lack wisdom, the Bible says that ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. All right? He'll give you whatever you need. Now, my grandfather was the one who taught me this even back when I was in school. He said that, he did this after he came off the bed of sickness. He said, whenever he had a test, he would study, and he would ask God to bring things that he studied back to his remembrance. I don't know how many times I've asked God to bring things back to our remembrance, not just in a test in school, but even like sometimes whenever I having conversations with people or whatever, God bring that back to my remembrance so I can let that person know. Because as we get older, sometimes so many things happen and we kind of forget some things we wanted to say. Now, another good thing is actually write things down. That might actually help as well. That's why I'm actually really excited that for my digital devices, because I write things down more than I used to, because I have a device here. I don't write them, I type them, I guess you want to say it. Because I have something in front of me, because I'm not one of those people. Now, my mom always carried a thing called a day timer. She always had a planner, so she can, but I just didn't do that. But now I have a device, so I have no excuse not to write things down. But you know what? It doesn't matter. A lot of times, like when it comes to scriptures, I don't write them down. I just remember them whenever I'm going through a situation where I need them, because they're on the inside. But there can be time that you need wisdom. Now, sometimes the wisdom you need is a scripture. That's what you need. You needed a scripture. Now, you know what? There are some times that I need wisdom, not concerning me, but concerning somebody else. There's been many times, where we don't call them counselors. That's what we call them, spiritual guidance sessions. When somebody comes and they're going through a situation and, in an instant, God will give me wisdom, through a scripture or through a situation that happened to me that I'm able to share with somebody else to help them in their situation. But it says, if you need wisdom, ask. Now, really, when I read these words, really what James is actually saying, it says, if you need anything, just ask. in this situation, because you're facing a trial, a situation, you might need wisdom. But, you know, whatever you need, all you got to do is ask. You know, and, you know, like I said, we have not because we ask not. Just ask. And it says there is no dumb question. There's nothing dumb to ask for. You can ask for anything. I mean, you know, what do you need? You know, now here's something else. I get on to a lot of Christians whenever I've heard some Christians say, well, I'm not very smart or I'm not very, you know, wise or whatever. You know what? We have a scripture for that. So there, you have no excuse to be dumb. Do you realize that? You have no excuse. You know, if you think that you're not as smart as you need to be, you know, then ask God to help you. Ask him for wisdom. Now something else too. This is something that I did. I don't know why. You know, a lot of times I did things not because you know, no one told me to. It's just because I just I just did it. I know as a young kid. Now, one thing that my mom prides herself on more than I do is that we read the Bible through together as a family for many years. Or I don't know how many times. That was our daily devotion. We read the Bible through. And so, you know, and I would read about the wisdom of Solomon. We've heard about that, you know. And although he was very rich, but the reason he was rich is because he was wise. And so at 12 years of age, I decided, you know what? Why pray for money? I'm going to just believe God for wisdom. At 12 years of age, no one told me to do this, but I started on a daily basis. You know, every time I said my prayers at nighttime, I always ask God for wisdom beyond my years. And I did it for years and years and years. You know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. You know, and you know, a lot of people think I'm a very wise person. You know, but it's sometimes not just very, very wise. Just know the Bible. You know, if you know the Bible, it makes you wise, because you know. But in a situation, a circumstance like this, I know that, you know what, I'm going to overcome. Not because I'm special, you know, not because I have any superpowers or whatever. But I have the greatest superpower. I have the greater one on the inside of me. And so I can have joy even in the middle of my trial, because I know that the trial is only temporal. You know, and I know whatever I need to get through this situation, God's going to give me the wisdom to get through this situation. All I got to do is ask him. Now it goes on to say, but when we ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. You know what? You have to put your faith in God. Not in men, not in banks, not in somebody's. You know, it's okay, you know, to ask people's advice, but you know what? The biggest thing you want to put our faith in is in God, not in men. You know, the Bible doesn't say to put our faith in our government; it says to put our faith in God. You know, even our money doesn't say put our faith in government; it says in God we trust. You know what? We need to trust in God. You know, my favorite scripture, the one I'm going to sign, if I sign your Bible or a book or whatever, I'm going to put, you know, Mark 11:22, have faith in God. That's all we have to do is have faith in God. And that's what James is saying right here. Your faith has to be in God. The reason we can have joy is because our faith is in God. God's going to get us through this trial. Not that we're going to get through it. We're going to get through it because God's going to get us through it. All right. I don't care how smart you think you are or whatever. There's going to be situations you don't know what to do. But I tell you what, God will give you wisdom beyond your years if you'll just ask. He'll give you wisdom you didn't think you had. Anyway, it goes on to say, but when you ask him, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Now, there are times where I've seen people, you know, they say, well, they're believing God for something. And then 3 days later, you talk to them and they're all upset because things haven't happened. So, what they're doing, they're on what I call the spiritual teeter-totter. One day they're up, one day they're down. Up and down. Believe, not believe. Believe, not believe. That's the question. And we all know people that are like that. Hopefully it's not you. And if it's your wife, just don't tell them all the time, because I found out that doesn't work real well. Just believe that your wife will get it, or your other loved ones, you know. But you know, the thing is, here's the thing, we shouldn't also, we have to understand the reason that these people are going through this up and down teeter-totter is because the devil is still here. And he's trying to put things in your ear, trying to say, you know what, it's not going to work this time. It's not going to work this time. But, you know, we have to understand that God loves us, and he's going to get us through our situation. We don't have to do it. You know, we don't have to figure out about how it's going to happen. We're going to let God be God. You know, the thing about it is we can have joy because we know that our God is in control. Even whenever things are not really going good, you know, you can wake up, you know, joyful. Now, the biggest thing is you can wake up, because a lot of people who are going through situations, they don't have to wake up because they can't sleep at nighttime. Because they're going through, because they're trying to figure out, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know what? If you're asking yourself the question, what am I going to do? Then that's the problem. The problem is you need to ask God. You need to turn it over to God and say, God, this is my situation. Fix it, please. You know, and here's the thing. God's not going to get onto you and say, well, why'd you get yourself in that situation? Doesn't matter why. You're there. You know, thank God that God loves us. Amen. And he cares about us. He's going to get us through our situation, even if we cause it ourselves. You know, I know some people that punish themselves, though, because they know that they caused that mess, that they don't want to ask God to fix it for them. Maybe they're ashamed. I don't know. You know what? I just don't like being in a mess. I mean, you know, and also I like being happy. You know, I'll tell you what. If people don't want to be around you, then maybe that's a problem. You know, people don't want to be around people that are grumpy. You know, so that's why you should get happy. All right? I mean, I'm always cheerful. Even whenever I've gone through some really tough times, you know, I keep a smile. I'm cheerful all the time. Why? Because I know ultimately that I win. Amen. All right. I know that there might be some tough times. There might be a season. You know, there's all kinds of seasons. I mean, right now we're in the middle of football season, but in 2 weeks, football season is going to be over. All right. I mean, you know, it's another season. You know, and some seasons are longer than others. You realize the baseball season lasts longer than the football season? You know, and there's going to be some tests that last longer than others or whatever. But it doesn't matter. You can get through it because God's on your side. God's on your team. He's leading you. He's guiding you. You know, he's your quarterback. He's your coach. Whatever it is, he's the one that's helping you get through your situation. So only believe and get off that teeter-totter. You know, quit being up one day and down another day. I mean, you know, I think a lot of Christians are being bipolar. Maybe you should, you know, don't be a bipolar Christian. Just believe. You know, really, that's the thing is that you should never be down when the Creator was on the inside of you. You know what? I never saw in the Bible where Jesus was down. He always was positive. You know, I mean, you know, he wasn't down. Now, I mean, I get it. There was a time that Jesus might have been sad. It said, when the Bible says Jesus wept. You know, even with the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, you know, God, if there be another way, please, can you do that other way? But there wasn't another way. All right, he had human emotions. But you know what? He knew ultimately that we win. Ultimately, he won. You know, everything that we have is through Jesus Christ. Do you realize the battle has already been fought and won? The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, and rulers from on high. You know, all these situations, these trials are coming because of the devil. That's my whole point. It's the devil being the devil. And, you know, and I tell this story all the time. My grandfather, you know, told the story. He said one lady came and talked to him and said, Brother Hagin, can you pray for me? The devil will quit attacking me. He said, well, do you want me to pray that you're going to die and go to heaven today? And she's like, no, I'm not ready to die. So that's the only time the devil's going to quit attacking you is whenever you're in heaven, because he can't touch you there. But Satan is the god of this world. You know, and so, you know, when we put things in perspective and think about this, Satan was there in the beginning with Adam and Eve. That's why they were tempted. That's why they ate from the tree. And Satan's still there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's doing the same old tricks. And so really, you know, if you know what someone's going to do, it doesn't bother you when they do it. I realize it's frustrating. You know, and I don't know if some of you have played athletics before. Playing athletics, there are always people there. I mean, you know, it seems more now in our modern age, or even worse. They do a thing called talking smack. I mean, you know, you see this between, in the NFL, between receivers and defensive backs, you know, or some of the linemen will be talking back. You know, you see it in the NBA, you see it in all sports. I mean, they're just talking back and forth. I mean, you know, and that's the deal. The devil's going to talk smack to you, but you know what? You know, he can't win. All he can do is talk. Do you realize that he knows he's defeated? If you put your trust in Jesus and what he's done, and put our trust in God, the devil has been defeated. He's a has-been. And the only way we ever lose is not to put our trust in God. That's the only way. Anyway, it goes on, talking about the person that's the bipolar Christian going up and down, it says, let's just get back there. It says, verse 4, says, but when you ask him, be sure your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. Now, these are awesome scriptures, because this tells us the reason why some people don't get their needs met. Because they're always up and down, 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 up and down. You know what? So James is saying, just be full of joy and quit being up and down. Just be up. Amen. Just be excited. And why can we not be excited whenever the greater one lives on the inside of us? That's pretty exciting. You know, I feel sorry for people that are not Christians, that don't know Christ. You know, I have hope. They don't. I know what the Bible says, but you know what? They don't have the Bible to run to when they're going through a situation, when they're going through trials, or they're going through things in life. They don't have anybody to run to. You know what? But I know what the Bible says. You know, like I said, my grandfather said he was a stickler for the word. And, you know, I pray all the time. Every time I pray before I preach, help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. You know, and what the word says to do is just be joyful, even when trials come, when situations come. You know, and they're going to come. You know, and here's the thing. And in my own life, I actually sometimes, you know, think about, I think, you know, we all have trials. We all have troubles and situations. But you know what? I thank God I'm not president. You realize, I mean, it doesn't matter what you think about our president or whatever. He can't do anything with people, a lot of people griping every day. I mean, that must be frustrating. You know, you can't do anything right. I mean, you know, I have a personal belief, all right? My personal belief in every president we've ever had, whether Democrat, Republican, or independent, I believe that every president we've ever elected wants to do the best job that they know how to do for the country. Whether I believe in their politics or not. And so I personally believe that this president, like every other president, wants to do something. But you know, it's just frustrating when everything you do, you know, whether positive or negative, you know, and that's why I know he gets frustrated on Twitter sometimes or says things sometimes, you know, and really he's probably the first president that seems more like the common person than anybody else for his detriment a lot of times. You know, but I think about that. I mean, it doesn't matter what he does. I mean, people complain. I mean, you know, he fed the Clemson football team the other day fast food, you know, and all the guys loved it, and the media grilled them over it, you know, because, you know,
I mean, I don't know what you can't win for losing or whatever. So I think about his situation. When I'm thinking about trial, tribulation, every day he has a trial. Every day, you know. So I thank God I'm not the president. You know. So sometimes people, you know, always want to be famous or whatever. Actually, I don't really want to be famous. I mean, you know, think about, you know, if I'm famous, I can't go to, you know, a theme park. I remember like Elvis Presley had to rent out Disneyland to take his kids to go to see Disneyland because, you know, everybody, you know, and there are celebrities who do go and they have to wear some kind of disguise or whatever. I mean, you know, you think it'd be fun being famous, but it's not. But the thing about it is, hey, you know, my trials are only temporal. It doesn't matter. You know, the devil's just being the devil. And I already know ahead of time. Jesus already told me in John 10:10 that I'm going to have trials and tribulation. But James is saying, you know what? In the middle of your trials, just be happy. Be content. Know that, you know, whatever devil tries, he's not going to win. Unless we let him. I mean, you know, it's really up to us. If we let him win, you know, if we decide, you know, instead of being up, we want to be down because, you know, we have a choice. But if you know the word, the word says, put your trust in God. Man, it's already over. I mean, like, you know, right now, I'm not sure what the score is, but we already know that the Rams are playing, if you want to know, the Rams won today. They're playing on February 2nd during our Super Bowl party. The Patriots are playing the Chiefs. Whenever I got here to preach, the Patriots are up 7-0. I'm not sure what the score is right now. I'll find out as soon as service ends. I'll look it up. But I'm not sure what the score is going to be. You know, they're having a test. They're having a trial. Ultimately, there will be a winner. We don't know who it will be. But here's the thing. In your test or trial, you know who wins. Amen. You know the outcome of the game before it's even played. See, right, you know, we have to wait for the outcome of the game to see who's going to play, in the Super Bowl. But in your game, you already know the outcome. And, you know, even though when it seems like, you know, it might be hard or whatever, hey, I know that I win. Now, the only way you win is if you believe that you win and put your trust in God. You know, he's the winner, and he's the one who causes you to win. He causes us to triumph through Christ Jesus. Everything that we do is through Christ. See, the joy is not our natural joy. It's the joy of the Lord. It's the joy in the Lord. You know, and through Christ, we can have joy. And we have to look through, not through our perspective, but through his perspective. Because you know what? You know, I use that test pattern on the screen. It's only a test. You realize whenever it's happening, the devil will try to tell you, this is not a test, this is the end. And that's when you have to know, you know what, this is only a test. You don't have the right to tell me it's the end. Because my faith is in God. In God I trust. And I'm going to make it. I'm going to get through this situation. And it might seem tough, but you know what? It's only temporal. In the end, we win. Amen. So just be joyful. Be joyful at the beginning. You know. Obviously, you'll be joyful at the end. You know what? But you know, I love the words that Paul says. But when Paul says, I finished my course with joy. Well, you know what? If Paul ever lost his joy in his course, he wouldn't finish it with joy. So the only way to finish it with joy is to keep your joy the whole way through. You know, and the joy that we have, the world didn't give us the joy. The joy, it comes from above. The devil can't take away your joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you will make it. You will get through. And, you know, yeah, I mean, there. After the human emotion comes and you face a trial and you know, you might have some human emotions immediately, but then remember what God's word says and just be happy. I mean, there has been a lot of times whenever I felt like crying and not crying for happiness, but crying because it was tough. But you know what? All of a sudden I knew what the word of God says. Just be happy. It'll be okay. You will win. You've already won. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person here. And we thank you that Father, that you'll help us in any trial, any situation that we go through, that you'll help us to remember that you know what, we can have peace, we can have joy, we can get through this situation every time. And we thank you, Father, that you'll help us all to know that the next time we face a situation, that this situation is only temporal, that we've already won through Christ Jesus, and that we can keep that joy of the Lord. But Father God, we thank you if anyone is here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without the saving knowledge of him. If you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus. I never met him as my Lord and Savior, and I want to tonight. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, man, at one time I knew God and I walked with God, but I've kind of turned my back and went away, and I want to rededicate myself to the Lord. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you on any invitation. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We thank you for some laborers across our paths on a daily basis, and we thank you for helping them come to the saving knowledge of you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Does anybody need healing? If anyone needs healing, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. We want to pray for you. If anyone needs healing, anybody? I always want to give an opportunity for healing. Amen. Amen. Well, before we go, we do have a couple of things we want to pray for. This is a little dog. It's for a 1.5-year-old that needs prayer for cerebral palsy and epilepsy and a couple other things. And then we also need to remember and pray for Wayne. He has back and chest pain. So Father God, we just thank you. First of all, we thank you for this little one, Father. Father, we thank you that you love them so much, Father. And we thank you as this dog is laid upon them. We thank you the power of God will flow into them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. We command this body to become completely well, completely healthy. We thank you, Father, that there is no more epilepsy. There's no more cerebral palsy or whatever. We just thank you, Father, right now for just touching them. And Father, we thank you for Wayne, Father. We thank you for that you're touching his back and his chest. And we thank you for complete healing in his body. We just thank you, Father, that he's well and healthy. And we thank you in advance for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Amen.